This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Hello, everybody. I am Coach Gary. With me, as always, Mr. Kyle Pagan. And quickly, Kyle, hit the music. Hello, friends. You're driving down to Butler Cabin, where old friends meet new ones, where the tiger's back on the prowl and the azaleas are in full bloom, and a new green jacket will be cloaked over a man who has just conquered Augusta National. Welcome to the Masters. It's Masters Week. It's one of my favorite things. I don't think we can play the music because Crossing Broad has a whole, like, hey, you can't steal people's stuff. So I don't think we can play the music this time, can we?
We'll play another rendition of it. Like, there's a Luther Vandross One Shining Moment rendition, but there's the also original rendition, like non-copyrighted edition too. Hey, where was Dude Perfect in that Masters intro? Were they off to the left?
Let me tell you something. So I don't want to do the Masters to the lead. So we're going to let that to tease. I just really wanted to talk about the Masters because I'm very excited. I have a free sample of Sirius XM radio right now, and they just have a channel called the Masters Channel.
I forgot how funny you say channel.
Yeah, you always say that, and I don't know. I don't know what I do. I also say museum. People say it's museum.
It is museum, and it's also okay, channel. But you don't do the A's, so it's fine. Channel.
Yeah. How do you say golf? I say golf too.
Golf. Yeah.
Golf. Yeah. It's golf. You got okay. that one. Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna rip it back to the Masters at some point because the Masters is just too much fun not to talk about. Let's start with one, Kyle. The Drip God. What's going on with that hat you got on today, bud?
The Drip God. Yeah. Shout out Grateful Dead. So a little play on Grateful Dead. If you could see this, it's not a YouTube show, so you can't. But I got a gritty Grateful Dead kind of collab, Dancing Bear. The guys at Grateful Dead, they sent me and Gary one, so shout out to them. I don't know if they're listeners. They like us on Instagram, so, you know, it's different nowadays. You know, you tap into different markets. You got a social market, but you also got a podcast market. You got a blog market. I mean, it's content is inclusive.
This is a really – well, first of all, I can't wait. I'm not a Flyers fan. That hat's fire. I can't wait. I'm going to wear that hat. I'm going to wear it. I'll sell my soul for free stuff. I'm okay with it. Also, since we don't do advertisers on the podcast, and it's not because we're anti-advertisers, here's a free tip for you. Send us free shit. We'll talk about it.
Guaranteed. We can be bought.
You don't even have to pay us. Just send me free shit. But let's start the Drip God hat. Grateful Dead. Check them out. Where did you say you find them? On Instagram?
Instagram, yeah, Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead. Check them out. Support our boys because they support us. Let's talk about the most pressing news that came out is this Eagles trade.
What did I tell you? I said we had house cleaning.
We have house. You want to start with house cleaning? Let's start with house
just
cleaning.
Just a quick house cleaning.
I just want to talk about the – I got this
I know
note
you do.
There.
You got notes. I'm fucking excited for
you. I'm over here taking care of things. Two things. One, we already talked about the hat. Kyle, next Tuesday, me and Kyle will be at the Citizens Bank parking lot somewhere in there. We will tweet out a picture of our location. We will have hot dogs and grilling, live podcast. Bob Wankel will also be there, live podcast in the parking lot, passing out hot dogs. You can make fun of me for being a Mets fan, and we're going to charge you to do that. It's going to be $1. And at the end of the night, we're going to give that $1 to a nice family and be like, hey, food's on us tonight.
Because we're 20%.
Like 20%. 20%. 20%. We go over everything.
Yeah. Just come out next Tuesday. We don't expect everybody to come out. We know we're going to get a lot of people who've never heard of us and everything, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I've done a live show before just on Fairmount Ave right outside a bar. Last time I did it, I smoked weed with a guy.
I'm not going to smoke weed on camera. I could lose my job.
You won't.
Kyle works. Kyle works.
I don't know.
Broad.
I don't know what the drug policy is in Crossing Broad. I will take that up the flagpole and
we'll
find
that
out.
Bob will be there. Bob's kind of your boss anyway. He'll be there. We'll be like, hey, whatever. If Kyle Scott says something to Kevin, we'll be like, Bob said it's fine, so take it up with him. Attitude reflects leadership.
We'll just send the hamster on the wheel. Be like, well, this guy said it was okay. This guy said it was okay. And they'll be like, who said it was okay? Who said it was not? And then you know what? By the time it's a month gone.
You know what I've learned? Usually if you drop a William Wallace quote on anybody when they're questioning you, it usually goes by. So if Kyle Scott's like, hey, we're going to have to fire you because you smoked weed live on the podcast, just be like, look. All men die. Not every man truly lives. Just say that to him and be like, boom. All right. And because then he's probably going to be like, I'm not going to fire you because you just dropped philanthropy on me or philosophy. Philanthropy. We're going to be philanthropists when we give that money to that nice mother and daughter going in to buy their food, 20%. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into it. Philadelphia Eagles make a big trade. Big trade. No players move hands. It's a mouthful. So let me get this into the Saints. Are going to receive this. This is what the Eagles sent this to the Saints. A 2022 first round pick, which is the 16th overall pick, a 22 first round pick, which is the 19th overall pick, and a 2022 sixth round pick, which is the 194th pick. The Eagles in return are getting a 2022 first round pick. That's 18. The Eagles also already have the 15th pick, so they have 18 and 15 now. They receive a 2022 third round pick, 101st rather, a 2022 seventh round pick that's slated to be 237th. The Eagles previously did not have a seventh round pick. And then on addition, a 2023 first round pick and a 2024 second round pick, meaning the Eagles have first round picks in this year's draft, two of them in the 2023, two first round picks in 2024, two second round picks. Kyle, what does this trade tell you?
There are so many words in the Adam Schefter tweet that I couldn't follow for about, I needed like an hour just to kind of like decipher. I forgot that someone, we had 15.
Someone had said, yeah, because I originally thought we gave up like all our picks and just got one back. I'm like, this is a terrible trade. Someone originally said it was a poorly worded math problem.
Because
that's what it was.
I had buddies text me being like, meh. And I don't blame them because it was just like, there were so many words and so many numbers and stuff that anyone's brain is going to just kind of short circuit there. But then I think after people like kind of started reading the beat writers and stuff, and the beat writers are on it and the fans are kind of on it, the very rare Gare, everyone was happy kind of deal.
Yeah. It seemed even Mad Mike on WIP today said he thought it was a good trade.
Whoa. Cause he replied to one of our tweets saying, well this just gives more. And I want to say this. Have you ever seen Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
And the retainer scene. Retainer at the end with Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. He's in the interview and stuff. All I keep saying is insurance. So like when Mad Mike was like, this just gives Howie more picks, insurance, or this just kicks the can down the road, insurance. Like, it's insurance.
Well, there's a hedge. Yeah, they're hedging themselves.
Yeah,
they know what they're insurance. Doing. Look, and Mike basically said, look, it's a good trade, but you're throwing the picks down the toilet because Howie's making them. So he hasn't given it up, right? But that's fine. Howie's not a great drafter in the first place. However, it kind of leads to make it a little bit complicated, right? Because what does it really say to Jalen Hurts? Is it saying, hey, we're giving you this year to figure this out? Like, this is your shot. This is one shining moment. Back to the beginning of the podcast. Don't say we can't call back. We should write for Comedy Central. But this is his one shining moment, right? So he has one more year to prove he can read.
Yeah. If he could read a defense and go to the second option. I mean, yeah. I actually was going to hold this for like later. I kind of want you to speculate a little bit, but I'm going to ask it now. If the Eagles don't get a weapon in the first two rounds, is it fair to Jalen Hurts? Are we allowed to ask that question?
No, I actually think it's unfair if they don't trade one of those picks just to get a proven weapon. I'm fully on team trade for DK Metcalf.
Okay, another question I had for you later in the pod, but you know what? This is what's so fun about audio, interviewing. We don't know where this is going to go. So, Gare, I kind of want you to speculate. I'll just ask the questions I had now. This is how prepared we are. Are they going to go for DK?
I don't know. I don't think they will, but I think they should. I don't think you have to give up a Tyreek Hill type trade. So I think what it would probably cost them is a 1, a 3, and probably another pick next year. It's really not that bad. You have two of each pick and 1 and 3. So who cares? And you still listen, if you can give up the 18th pick rather than the 15th pick, which I'm sure Seattle won't go for, but then you also still have ammunition to move up into like 12 or something. If you're going to go after Stingley, if you're going to go after Sauce Gardner, I don't want Trent McDuffie. That guy has bust written all over him.
Just because he went to Washington?
And McDuffie.
Okay, that's true.
It's not a football name, I'm sorry.
If I had Darius Slay and Sauce Gardner on both ends of my field, I'm like, yes, those are some guys that are going to shut down. If I have Trent McDuffie, or is it Trent?
I think so, or Trill, Trent, Trent, Trizzy.
And then Darius Slay, McDuffie reminds you of Sam McGuffie. Remember him from Michigan? You probably do. He was supposed to be the next big thing.
Well, if we do get McDuffie, I think we should get him on the podcast and be like, I think what you need to do is just go by Trizzy McDuffie. That sounds much better. He's either going to be a low-end rapper who never gets a deal, kind of like Sammy Adams. I think he did get a deal, though. He was actually pretty good. Or, he's an all-time corner.
Could be.
Trent McDuffie sounds like a kicker.
Now, you're going to have to extend also DK. And it's looking at, like, I read one article. Don't kill me. I read one article. Doing my due diligence. And it looked like it was like right around 4 years, $71 million. So like Christian Kirk money, but
fine with
$47 million guaranteed.
Don't care. Here's the thing. So the conversation today, and I listened to a lot of sports radio today because I wanted to kind of get the pulse of the city and the callers, right? The experts that are now calling in, let's say not the callers, the actual experts, the people who are calling in who work in media are saying you're now creating this new NFL where it's like, oh, you just draft a wide receiver and try and win with him on your rookie deal. What does that sound exactly like? A quarterback, right? So it just shows the wide receiver might have the second most impact on a game offensively, because if you put the ball in their hand, they make plays, right? The quarterback and the wide receivers become so needed in the NFL. Let's look at the teams that finished in the top four this year. Cincinnati has Ja'Marr Chase. Los Angeles has Cooper Kupp. San Francisco has Deebo Samuel. And then who's the other AFC championship game? Oh, Tyreek Hill with the Chiefs. Those are four high-end, top echelon wide receivers. Also, Stephon Diggs. Like, all these guys, like, a lot of these teams that finished really well in the playoffs or competed really well in the playoffs have high-end wide receivers. That old adage of you don't win with wide receivers is no longer true. You're going to have to pay one. You have Smith under contract for four more years with that fifth-year option attached to it. I'm going and getting the guy that we know is a proven commodity. He's T.O.-esque in terms of size. I'm not sure he has the hands or the route running ability, but in terms of size, you can't build a much better wide receiver than what DK Metcalf is.
Yeah, so you're all in on go get DK and worry about later.
Or A.J. Brown. I don't care because they already have hedged themselves for next year, where if Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, they have the ability to go get a quarterback. You can do both. This is the perfect example of having your cake and eating it, too. You can do both.
Okay. My other question was, does Howie use both picks? I think you're saying no right now.
I don't think he will, because I either think he'll trade up with both picks and maybe try and push himself in the top 10. I don't know. Maybe there's someone they really like up there. I just think it would really behoove them to add veteran talent, and DK's 24 years old.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where it's almost like it's such a non-brain, like a non-thought. Or no brainer. I can't even get my brain together. It's a no brainer to do this because you've already hedged yourself for next year.
Yeah.
For the you have both options.
I like that Howie's just going after guys that he just misses, that he missed on. DK and Russell Wilson.
Yeah. But somehow they both went to Seattle.
Somehow they did.
And the Eagles don't draft wide receivers well. And I still think Devontae Smith's going to be very good. And I actually think Quez Watkins is a good 3 and 4. I think the writing's on the wall. Just go get him. Just go do it.
So say DK, say AJ Brown, they get extended, as a lot of people are saying right now that they will be getting extended because they are 24-year-old number one wide receivers. And it's very rare for a number one wide receiver to not be extended after his rookie deal. The Steelers. Now I'm eyeing them up. The Saints jumped them. Now, Malik Willis visited the Saints, but there's rumors out there that Tomlin loves Malik Willis, and he also likes Kenny Pickett. Now, do the Saints like Kenny Pickett? Do they like Malik Willis? We don't know. Do the Steelers jump in front of the Saints now at 15 to get a QB and trade with the Eagles?
There's a third team here I think we're all kind of forgetting about, and I wonder if you're heading this way.
Go ahead.
That would be the Detroit Lions sitting at number
two. Coming back into the first round.
Yeah. So, but I'm also sitting here wondering, the Lions are the second pick, and I think they've already said it's for sale. So do the Saints or the Steelers try and get the two and take their guy, which is only good for the Eagles because they'll start pushing it back.
I think Detroit would come back in the 32nd and try to get back into the first, if anything. But here we go. So it goes Ravens. They're getting mocked. Defensive end, linebacker-ish. They missed out, obviously, on Za'Darius Smith, the old Frank Gore situation there, where it's reported he never went.
Right.
New Orleans, they go offensive line, just lost Teron Armstead. Chargers go offensive line. There are rumors that they'll trade that with Kansas City. I don't know why they would do an interdivision trade obviously the Eagles and the Cowboys did it last year as well. So
Eagles are trend centers, so.
Yeah, true. But if the Chargers stay there, they'll go OL. And then us. So that's if we trade the 15th pick. For maybe even another first next year or a first this year for 20 and what do we have? I don't even remember what we have. Do we have 19? Do we have 18? Do
we have 16? 18? We have 15 and 18.
I'm telling you, there's too much damn numbers.
There's a lot. When we read it, there was a lot of numbers going around.
Can you thread that next time, Adam Schefter?
Well, the best is like the reply underneath. He's like, fixed it for you. And he fixed it. It's also, hey, Jack Fritz, I think you listen. Like, maybe hit the breaking news sounder. Like, they just come back from a break, like, oh, I got Eagles news. And I'm like nonchalantly says it. And I'm like, whoa, where's the tease? I'm not even in the business and I know that, Jack. Step it up. And I'm just lashing out because he's been making fun of me about the DeGrom thing via the texts.
Would you let the Steelers jump you for 18 and 20. We have 18, right?
18 and 15.
Yeah. So you get, so you, they get 15, you get 20 and 18.
Yeah, because I'm probably getting a second or a third back in return.
Mm-hmm.
I just say, hey, I'm getting TJ Water. You're not moving.
Mm.
Strong arm. That would never happen. That was a Philadelphia radio caller.
Was it really?
That was. Oh yeah. No one said that. I'm just saying, like, that's someone who calls on sports radio, be like, oh, I'm trading first round pick, and I'm getting TJ Watt and Chase Claypool and Troy Polamalu's naming rights to his son.
So we also talked about how, like, Jalen Hurts, it wouldn't be fair to get if we didn't get him a weapon, but we are BPA guys.
We 100% BPA guy. Listen, if it doesn't fall to you and Devin Lloyd's the best player available, take him. Again, I'm fine with it. Devin Lloyd, Tyler, if it's going to be Devin Lloyd and I think it's Taylor Lindblom or Tyler Lindblom, the center at Iowa, fine with it. Fine with it. Because a linebacker will give you depth, and, well, the linebacker will probably be your best defensive player, and then, I mean, you're going to need a center of the future, so I'm fine with that.
I don't know if we talked how fun it is to going to be rooting against the Saints.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect because I don't like Jameis. He's hilarious, but I just don't like him.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun this year to root against the Dolphins and then root against, obviously, the Colts, because, like, you didn't want them to be good. But the Dolphins, I mean, people forget they were 1-8.
Uh-huh. And then they rattled the season. And then they fired their coach.
And they fired their coach because, you know, he paid them to pay them to lose. But, like, also, here, listen to all this.
Yeah.
So you got Jameis Winston coming off an ACL tear.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have Malik Willis starting a rookie quarterback who I know you're in love with. But
still, I don't think he'll start. I don't think he'll start, though. I think they'll give him the what's his favorite? Trey Lance treatment.
Little three games, four games, see what Jameis can do, and then bring
a couple
him in.
Packages for him.
Exactly. He'll rattle off two wins. They'll be 2-4, or they'll be 3-4, and people are like, Malik Willis, rookie of the year. Maybe he's the next best thing. People slept on him. then you have Dennis Allen, obviously. Second time he's been a head coach. No Sean Payton. Teron Armstead left. Malcolm Jenkins leaves. Marcus Williams leaves. So they have no safety. Could still obviously sign Tyrann Mathieu. He was visiting them today. But then you got Michael Thomas.
Where
that guy could
have
go.
The money to do this.
The salary cap's not real.
I know, but it's not real. Michael Thomas, he's in the Kyrie territory of Mike.
He could go AWOL. Yeah. He could go AWOL. And then people forget Alvin Kamara. He beat the piss out of a guy at the Pro Bowl. He could be suspended.
Oh, yeah.
A
he could be suspended. He also, they're not going to be able to afford him.
God, money's not real.
Cap's fake. That's true. I don't know. I mean,
they were in on Deshaun Watson and they were $75 million over the cap. It's like,
this is insane. It's like, how do we make this work? We just do. Yeah. No, the Saints are very easy to root against. It's a shame because I wish Sean Payton was still there because I hated Sean Payton. Such an easy hate the fate. Did you watch the Home Team movie?
No.
Not me either. Kevin James is unrecognizable, though.
They tried to take the NFL to court over the Rams and their pass interference. Like, the fans tried to take the NFL to court.
Oh, no, that's an all-time fan move, though. That's just, I feel like you pull that off.
Yes, there is 100% chance they would. I don't want to be associated with that, though.
No, but the Saints are in a rare territory where they deserve to be angry at the NFL. I mean, they got made example of for Bounty Gate and probably should have, but, like, it wasn't egregious what they, like, it was egregious on both sides.
They were the first
Sean
one
Payton
to be
was
found
suspended
out.
For an entire year. Oh,
I mean, Buddy Ryan used to pay guys for Buddy Ryan started it basically,
and then how just awesome no one talks it? About Spygate.
Well, yeah, there you go. Really, how awesome is it that we're gonna be, like, after watching Ben Simmons' summer workouts for, like, the last 5 years, we get to watch Jameis Winston summer workouts. We earned this.
The one, he literally was doing a drop back and swinging a baseball bat today.
Yes, I don't know what that does.
It didn't make any sense. Like, I was just going to reply to you with the gif of the Happy Gilmore run, but that still didn't make any sense. Yeah. He literally was taking a snap, then swinging a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. This could be a great transition, but I think we're staying on it. He was maybe trying out for Dude Perfect.
Going to Dude Perfect. I got to get off my chest.
Yeah. So is anything sacred anymore, Kyle? I don't know. Listen, first of all, it's the worst combination of people, DeChambeau and Dude Perfect, just getting to go out and play around on Augusta National and not play around at golf. Literally, they, like, pulled out their gym bag of sports toys and went and did. Dude Perfect is maybe the lowest brow entertainment in the world. If you're a dirt Dude Perfect fan and you listen to this podcast, please unsubscribe, because I don't want you to listen. I don't want it.
There's, like, 50 million people who, like, subscribe to them. It's absolutely insane.
I wonder how long it really takes for them to film all that shit.
Oh, it probably takes forever. I just
I don't care.
I am shocked that Augusta One let him in there. Like you said, that is sacred ground. And I'm okay with gatekeeping it because I've been there. And unless you haven't been there, you don't understand. And this is my only boomer take that I want to get off my chest right now. It's one of the last places where people are lockstep and just respecting the course. Yes. It's one of the greatest courses of all time. Nobody runs, no phones. You put your chair down. People respect it. They can sit in it. But if you come back and say, hey, that's my chair, they make sure it's your chair. And then you get to sit in it. People treat you with a level of respect that you've never been treated. That makes you feel like
human
decency. In a last 2 years where we couldn't even decide if this deadly disease was bad or not. When millions of people die, you're like, I don't know if it's that bad. But this place is one of the last places where we can just be like a community. And people are going to be like, well, it's all just old rich guys, white guys and shit. It's like, no, it's not. It is a very diverse area, a very diverse clientele. Women, men, yellow, purple, black, white. I've been there. Until you have been there, you won't understand how awesome this place is. And that's why I'm gatekeeping and that's why I hate Dude Perfect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, it's one of those things. When you sent it to me, I was right away. I said, I can't believe they even let this happen. And actually, I think you have the support of anyone who's ever rooted for sports, because it's cool that there's like one place in the world left that's exclusive and hard to do. And it's they showcase it once a year. Like, well, now they do it twice because they have the women's amateur there too, and they showcase it there. But they showcase it and they present it, and it's listen, they present it. But they're really taping some – they're making it look really nice. Like,
yeah,
a lot of fake green is what I've heard. Also, the course isn't – the course is very hilly. You just can't tell.
Did you ever hear that?
No, I didn't. Just like I never heard that Duke and UNC never played in the tournament. But very hilly course, oddly. Awesome. The pimento cheese. I like pimento cheese is delicious. It's cheap. The beers are like $2.
Well, now beer's up to $5 now.
No, that's fair. Still, I'd pay for that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a – It's like one of the last guards of great sports lore you have, and they're just like giving it away to Dude Perfect.
I mean,
that's like Justine Chafin in Entourage being like, I'm just going to fuck Vinny Chase, just giving it away to some. All he did was head on at the time, too.
Masters just gave away their virginity. Yeah. To fucking Vinny Chase doing head on.
I mean, Vinny Chase is cooler than Dude Perfect. I don't care because Vinny Chase at least goes on. I mean, like, Dude Perfect's not going to go on to do Scorsese's Gatsby. They're not going to go on to do Ferrari. They're not going to go on to get his brother Best Supporting Actor Gold Globe. Dude Perfect's not going to do any of that. At least Vinny Chase was a win in the end. But Justine Chafin just gave it up because he was singing with Tony Bennett. She's like, I'm just going to fuck you now.
And they are not Queens Boulevard.
No, they are not Queens Boulevard.
I mean, going back to the video, if anyone watched it, like, this guy is yelling weak sauce off the same tee that, like, Tiger's going to hit monster bombs this year.
Right. Ooh, like, no, he's not. Little inside information from Freddie Couples today. He played with him. He's like, look, Tiger's hitting it 300+, but it's, like, a nice soft swing. Like, he's shaping his shot real well. I think Tiger contends. I know this could be a whole thing.
No, yeah.
You keep going, but I want to because I want to keep hating on Dude Perfect, but just want to correct you on the Tiger takes.
One guy kicked a volleyball into the same pine brush that Phil hit between those two trees and won his third green jacket. Then, like, they're using croquet mallets on the green of Augusta where Greg Norman had his heart ripped out in 1987 when that guy chipped in from 140 out to win in the second playoff hole. Like, Greg Norman probably wakes up in, like, cold sweats. Like this time of year, just remembering how many times he squandered a lead in the Masters.
I also don't know how you allow that out right before the Champions Dinner, like right at the peak of the Masters time. Do it in August or something when we're really not that worried about it. But at the right time, it really just kind of compounds. And look, we're gatekeeping it because obviously we both love it. Like, listen, if you can't get up for the Masters and if you only watch one golf tournament a year, it should be this one because it is the best one. I'm a big U.S. Open guy too, but this is the best one because of it plays at the same place, the history. Like, it's almost like knocking down Yankee Stadium. Imagine how ridiculous that would be.
I went to the second game ever. Or second to last game ever at Yankee Stadium. Right. It felt weird. It felt but the nostalgia. You
never knocked that down. That was a museum of baseball.
Oh, it was so shitty, but it was like your shitty stadium.
Exactly. Have you been to Wrigley or Fenway?
Yes. I can't fit in Fenway.
Listen, Fenway is my favorite place in the world. I don't care. It's the greatest ballpark in the world.
Not the third base side. Not the
no, the third. You're not wrong on the third base side. But
third base side. My knees were in someone's back the whole time.
You're 6'5". It's tough. Yeah, I'm a big boy, but it's like being tall was a lot harder back then.
Yeah, but like it's 1918. It was built as 2022. Maybe we update the seats a little bit.
They've done some refurbishments to it.
I could use more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you're above the national height average, so I think you're just going to have to deal with that one.
Tune in next week when Dude Perfect plays hide and go seek at the Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah. Jesus.
Tyler's hanging out in the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Well, I mean, what else can they ruin? What else could they ruin?
They're going to go play freeze tag at Mecca.
I don't even know what Mecca is. What is Mecca? That's like a...
It's where the Muslim pilgrimage right. is. It's like the most sacred place of like Muslim lore. It's basically like the... what's the fucking thing? The Vatican for Roman Catholics.
They're just in there taking pictures of the Sistine Chapel?
No, this one's just like a big cube.
Oh, okay. I mean, listen, Dude Perfect... They should just be canceled for that. I don't care if they've never done anything. I'll just cancel them.
They're such dorks. But this is also the thing where like I fight with, where it's like taking an interview with the president. As long like it doesn't matter what your politics are, you take an interview with the president 100 out of 100 times.
Kyle, if we get a call tomorrow from Augusta Nash, we'll be like, hey Gary, do you want to come? Take a shot at the 16th hole? Be like, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah.
Do you want to go kick volleyballs around and throw a vortex off the tee? Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I will. I would 100% do it, but
a little bit of jealousy, but a little bit of gatekeeping, and we need sacred ground. I'm not jealous of it.
I actually am not jealous of them being able to do that, because I feel like me being a golf guy, I would feel uncomfortable doing what they did. And I wonder if there was a conversation about like, is there going to be backlash again?
Did the members have to vote on it? There's only 300 of them.
Condoleezza Rice is on the members board, I believe.
Condoleezza Light, yeah.
Condoleezza Light. this is the new brand of Condoleezza. She's also on the football playoff, right?
I don't think so anymore.
Has Condoleezza Rice gotten more opportunity in sports for someone who wasn't a professional athlete?
She's going to be GM of the Browns. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a hot rumor for a second.
Yeah.
Condoleezza Rice is just throwing her fucking power all over sports. Man. I love this.
And she got away from the Bush administration. She's gone on a war path ever since. Good for her. This actually leads me to, like, let's talk about this, because I've always said, this is a big dead dad podcast. There's nothing like, there's something about Tiger Woods at Augusta that just reminds me of my dad. Like, my mom was there, and it's a memory, and I love my mom, and she was always there, but I feel like, well, first of all, Tiger's done more for golf than anyone in the world. He's made golf such – everyone in the world has a shitty pair of golf clubs and goes out and plays because they've seen Tiger Woods do this, and they've played Tiger Woods golf. But I just remember watching all these tournaments with him, mainly the Masters, and being like, this is the greatest thing you'll ever see. This is the greatest thing you'll ever see. And he was right. He's the greatest golfer we've ever seen, and it just reminds me every time. Is there one athlete – because my answer would be Tiger. If I could bring Tiger back in his prime that can just continually play forever – I'd pick that. Is there like one athlete you would ever pick to be like, I want to see him in his prime and I never want him to go away? I'm sure people would say Brady.
I think LeBron will be that in 20 years when it's kind of all the dust settles and whatnot. I think we will appreciate LeBron more than we appreciate it now, but I would love to see MJ. MJ would have been pretty cool. I was like 7 when the 2000s came. So like you were 8. So it's like, we didn't really get to see like the dynasty.
I remember the Wizards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that one, I would assume like when you talk about like these all time great athletes, and the ones that just have like a lore to them, I think Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan might be in a class to themselves.
I didn't appreciate the early 2000s Eagles.
Okay. I like where you're going. I love the early 2000 Eagles.
I didn't appreciate them enough. I feel like I didn't
they
become
were great a, football teams.
A big fan of like the Eagles, where like I was invested in it. I was always like this kid where it was like, yeah, live and die, cry at the 2004 Super Bowl. Kid, you had a chance, but really, did you ever with Spygate and the Patriots being a dynasty run and stuff? Not really. But yeah, I would say I wasn't like gung-ho on the Eagles until like probably 5 years ago. Like I actually like pay attention to every transaction and like, how does this help the Eagles? How does this not help the Eagles? Read about the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I definitely did not appreciate the Dawkins. I did not appreciate the TO. I did not appreciate Westbrook, McNabb. Like that was just kind of like, I was, like I said, 7 when 2000 happened. I mean, I got the best Eagles run in the history of my life.
It's a shame too, because as much as we love the 2017 teams, and we love that team, right? If they were able to convert one of those Super Bowls, most beloved football team of all time, Donovan McNabb's story is so much different here. Brian Dawkins is basically, I mean, he already is number one. You can argue him and AI, but like Brian Dawkins would be in the lore of greatness, and he would basically be a man, a mortal among a man, a god amongst men. That's what I'm trying to say.
Like,
but he kind of already is.
So if so, say like the Phillies win it all this year, like that 2018 will still be more popular than this 2022
team. Yeah, because the 2018 was built. Mm-hmm. It was built. I mean, this one was bought, which I don't care. Championships are championships, but like,
yeah, you should be the last guy who cares about buying teams.
Don't care. more money, the better. That's why I love Uncle Stevie.
But yeah, I mean, there will be that 2004 team, or yeah, 2004 team would have been more beloved than that 2017 Super Bowl run. I think you're exactly right.
100% agree. Let's kick it back real quick to the Masters, though. Do you have any takes on it? Do you have any takes? Any guys you really like this week?
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau to miss the cut +142.
Okay, I took Rory to miss the cut +400.
You gotta. I mean, the guy's a basket case. When he
old producer PJ called it last year and he missed the cut. Made money.
+142. Also, it's not just because I hate Bryson DeChambeau and Dude Perfect going back to them. It's because he actually really hasn't played in a lot of tournaments this year, and he's like really banged up.
Yeah, and he doesn't really lend. So little Masters, little Augusta National course talk here. Augusta doesn't penalize you for bad drives. It penalizes you for not being good at your second shot. So that's why guys who have great second shots always perform so well there. So if you're betting this week, here's a couple names that I want you to look out through. And it's not like I'm hiding these names. Justin Thomas, a fantastic second shot guy. He's gotten a little bit better each time he plays there. Played with Tiger in two practice rounds. Him and Tiger are very close. I'm sure they talk about it. Has good insight. Number two, Colin Morikawa, probably the best ball striker on tour. Second shot in. Good putter, not a great putter. And then lastly, Will Zalatoris. Last year finished as a runner-up. He's a good ball striker as well. And then you also have these two guys who are just red hot right now. Scottie Scheffler and Cam Smith. Two other guys that I would look at for, you know, top 20, top 10, top fives, even outrights. I took Colin Morikawa with the odds boost at +2,300 to win it.
Wow.
That's what I like. But Augusta really does reward that second shot. Second shot at Augusta is how you win the tournament. And then, of course, making putts. But that second shot's how you get rewarded.
Give me your realistic Tiger Woods take, because I heard he climbed stairs at Riviera Maya, and that's when people are like, he's back.
So I think Tiger Woods makes the cut. He's never missed the cut at Augusta. He knows this course probably better than anyone who's ever played it. He's won there a ton. He's played there a bunch. He also has the early start, late start going for him. So he's at 10:30 on Monday, and he's at 2:30 on Friday. So he's going to get a lot of rest between two rounds. So he's probably not going to be back at the course to 11. He asked for that, and they gave it to him because he's like, I need the rest of my. The reports that I've heard is there's a noticeable limp, but he doesn't seem to be as much pain. The swing speed still at one, you know, he's still generating good swing speed and still generating good ball speed. And it's Tiger Woods, so we know his iron play is going to be good, and he knows these greens better than anybody. Realistically, if he can hold up with the walking, I could easily see Tiger finishing in the top 20.
Where's Charlie coming to play? Charlie walking with him?
No, let me tell you something. A few weeks that when he was up there a couple weeks ago, you know who he played with? His buddy, Justin Thomas, and Charlie. Charlie has the best life in the world. Charlie's 9 years old. He's already played Augusta National.
Kid hasn't been in school in like the last like 6 months. I feel like
I love Charlie Woods. Tiger Woods is my favorite athlete of all time. My second favorite athlete of all time is Charlie Woods. And he hasn't even gone pro yet. I love Charlie Woods. I'm one of those guys who's obsessed with a child.
No, I think though that like, if Charlie's walking, you know, a little security around him, don't get me wrong, but like if he's walking 18 with Tiger and Tiger can see him and Tiger's feeling it a little bit in the ankle, I think that gets him.
Well, there's no above. Okay. Well, you're saying at the tournament, I was going to say there's no carts there. So like if when they went a few weeks ago, they had to walk. So Charlie's ass walked.
Yeah. But I'm saying like Charlie obviously can't. I've heard Masters is hilly and a lot of fake green. If Charlie's outside on the ropes, I'm just saying, like, I think he's walking with Pops. I think,
yeah, well, I'm sure they're not. I'm sure they're not. They won't let him out there because it's like be a security problem. Because, yeah, people are like, who are you?
Put a couple of security around him.
No, okay, I love that.
Did you see the picture of everybody around Tiger with the practice round?
Yes, it was like 10 people deep for the patrons.
Holy shit,
Freddie Couples was on Masters Radio today, like, just talking about it, and he was like, free subscription right now. I'm not rich. I wish to be one day. But he was saying it felt like a Sunday at the Masters during a practice round. He's like, it was intense. And he's like, and you could see like there's Tiger playing a practice round and there's Tiger with pressure playing a practice round. It's like you could see Tiger turn it on. Like he's like, you could see him turn it on. Apparently he had a great shot. Eagle. He didn't even care about his eagle putt. Just made an eagle. I think it was on 8, but let me tell you something. I bet him to make the cut and be a top 30 finisher.
I mean, he knows where his body is. I mean, the guy's been through back surgery. He's been through a knee surgery. He's been like, he's hurt his shoulders and stuff. Like he doesn't fly on that private jet that everybody was tracking that week unless he knows he can play 4 rounds.
Well, that's the other thing too. Like he's not at the point where he's ready to concede the fact that he can go play on the Champions Tour. He's not ready for that. I really don't believe he would enter a tournament of this magnitude if he didn't think he could beat. Like I think if he goes out there and misses the cut and looks bad, we won't see him for a long time because I think this would be an injury to his pride. I think he's a very prideful guy, and I think he's really kind of come into his own as a man. I actually think, and this is funny because I'm 30 and he's like 40 some years old, but like I think the injuries plus the very public life with his son and being a father and probably admitting for a lot of the wrongs he pulled off, he's become a great ambassador to the game, and that's why I even love him even more. I know he has his demons, but like. Tiger will always be Tiger to me. He made me fall in love with a sport I love more than anything in the world. It's my favorite hobby, and I still love to watch it. He will always be my favorite athlete. It'll never come close to anyone beating Tiger for me.
Him and Kobe had a very similar career arc where Kobe was like vilified for the same for different transgressions, but like very public transgressions. He was a tough guy to deal with, bad teammate a lot, but he understood after that 2009 or 2010 title that like 11, 12, 13, when he was kind of like tearing his ACL, he was kind of like getting slower and stuff that like, hey, there's going to be a time after basketball and I'm going to have to be an ambassador. So let's kind of like dial it back a little bit.
And you can also draw comparisons. Her name was Gianna, correct?
Yes, Gianna.
Gianna. He was so heavily invested in her, just like Tiger is so heavily invested in Charlie. And I know Tiger's probably invested in his daughter. People forget he has a daughter. He has a daughter. But like you saw how much it meant to be a father. And as a father, like that's the first time I've ever got to say that.
Wow.
Like being able to I haven't got it, but like, you know, I rolled a ball to my son. He rolled it back to me today for like the first time. And it was like, I just started waterfalling tears. I'm like, this is the greatest thing in the world.
So it's like, I love that.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, being able to watch your kid succeed in anything, and my son literally just rolled a ball or when he crawled for the first time, it's awesome. But like, I can't imagine being able to see these two, especially, I mean, she was playing like very high level basketball. Charlie's like literally competing for the PNC championship and playing really well. It has to be one of the coolest things as a parent. And I can't wait for it, but I digress. Let's not get too chummy on the podcast.
Listen, with a name like Baker, that kid's got to be good at some sport.
Stop it.
He does.
I feel like you're being mean to me now.
No, he does. He has to be good at it. I knew one Baker. His name was Tommy Baker. He went D1 in soccer.
Oh, Tommy Baker's an all-time soccer name.
Baker Lay is a great name.
Yeah, Baker is a great. Baker Lay has quarterback slash good golfer written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to name my next kid Smiley Lay.
That's a good one, too.
It's another good one.
So I really don't got anything on the Masters. I'm just hoping everyone has fun. I'm hoping for a good, clean game.
No betting. There has to be a Crossing Broad promotion here, right? Do we have a sign up code?
So if you go to crossingbroad.com, the promotion is available to players that are new to the FanDuel Sportsbook, obviously. Simply click the link on crossingbroad.com, follow the instructions, make a $5 minimum bet. We're offering $150 bonus in return for a $5 bet on Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, or Jordan Spieth to only make the cut. Do you like all three of those besides one guy?
I actually like more. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Rory makes it, but you got to hedge against them.
True. So bet on DJ and Jordan Spieth.
And support Crossing Broad by using our sign-up promo code. And, of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That wasn't even a pray to Adam. I just care about people with gambling problems.
Yeah, I hope we never become a national podcast because then you have to read every single one from the federal level.
It's yeah, it's going to be not good.
We're just going to speed that one up with like no batteries included.
Or we'll just hire somebody.
Sixers,
yeah. So let's talk about the Sixers. They did two things that I wanted to see them do this weekend. One, they blew somebody out, and one, they played in a close game with 2 minutes left and won the game. Where do you – we and you have – I feel like me and you are dragging Sixers talk out of each other because we feel like we need to talk about it, but we're just trying to get to the playoffs. Is that exactly how you feel right now?
Yeah, I mean, because it's like I want to hate on them. I'm pissing them all the time. They're playing right now against the Pacers. I don't even know what the score is. It's probably not good.
27-all.
Joel could just put the team on his back. for seven games. And this could be one of the monumental runs of all time. And then I'm looking like an idiot because I said I wanted them to lose so Doc Rivers could go to the Lakers or the Jazz or everything. But like, I'm actually, I think I've kind of just, I've softened on the Sixers. I'm over the MVP talk. I'm done with it. Okay.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense anymore because for every Jokic argument you can make, there's a pro Embiid argument. And every pro Embiid argument you can, there's an anti Jokic argument.
I had the Sixers MVP debate written down. Does it bother you at all that he's kind of like publicly asking for it at all or no?
See, that's funny because he, a month ago, said, like, I don't care about it. But, like, you're not human if you don't care about it. Like, everybody no. cares about individual accolades as well as the team accolades. What I'm more angry about is you got to fix All-NBA. The All-NBA voting, the first team All-NBA voting, All-NBA voting in general, it's an NBA where it's positionless basketball. So, Garrett, like, they put five guys on the first, second, and third team. Two guards, two forwards, one center. Jokic right. and Embiid are both centers now. So that means this guy, Joel Embiid, is going to finish second again, according to the sports books, in the MVP voting, and he's going to be second team All-NBA.
Let me ask you something, too. Are the Nuggets any good?
They're like fifth in the West. They're not between fourth, fifth, sixth in the West.
Simply, Joel Embiid has more impact on the winning of the game. Boom.
Jamal Murray's out. There's the guy with all the back issues, Michael Porter Jr. is out. So, like, Jokic is kind of having the same thing with the Ben Simmons thing. Like, he kept the team together. But, like, Joel, like, kept the team together and stuff. And
he's, like, physically dominating. Look, listen, if you watch Jokic, I know Jokic puts up good stats. He plays boring basketball.
It's true. And there's the argument where we're going to get into, and it's good that we're, like, having this argument where it's, like, advanced analytics are good. They're necessary for the game. No one's going to say they're not. But then you just watch basketball. And if you watch basketball, you see a physically imposing 7'1 player who can do everything. And then you see Jokic and you're like, this guy doesn't really get me off the couch and everything. He has a couple passes a game where you're like, holy shit, that was awesome. But the thing about like the All-NBA voting where it's like, just make it five guys, the top five guys.
Yeah.
Because like when you have the Oscars, like the nominations and everything, you don't go two drama, two horror, one comedy. And those are the nominees. And then you vote on, you know, who the best picture is.
That Will Smith policing it now.
You have 5 to 7 movies that are the best movies that came out. So put the five best players in the NBA.
That's fair. I have no horse in this race, but I agree with you. I see your argument. I think it's interesting that, I mean, he's the last statement he comes out and he's like, I feel like they hate me. Do you feel like they hate him? The reason to hate him? Because he acknowledges the process, made it his. Like, is that a thing? Is the NBA really that upset about it?
He's had his tweets where it's like they hate the process. He wore the shirt saying that history will be retweeted. He's a troll and everything, and he's going after the NBA and stuff. And the NBA sees that. You know, Adam Silver.
What player hasn't?
No, but you're right. But like Adam Silver, I don't know how much he's like. I know David Stern would hate that shit. David Stern was a conniving dickhead, but he did get the league out of financial turmoil. So like everything he did was good. But
David Stern came. I want actually before we move on from this, David Stern came up today. The dress code rule.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ever put that into play today?
There would be a lot more social issues if I could say so myself. And there was a lot back then.
I remember it.
But it was you were coming off the Jailblazers. You were coming off AI, who was one of the most popular guys in the NBA, but he wasn't the greatest guy off the court and stuff. But it's the same. I'm watching Winning Time on HBO right now. It's the same problem they had in the early 70s where the NBA almost went bankrupt. It's like, you know, they were worried about white people watching the NBA and families watching the NBA. And they were like, yeah, there's too many black people in the NBA. Like that was like a conversation people just had. But that's like that turned people off.
How's Winning Time? Is it worth my time?
It's good. John C. Reilly should win a bunch of Emmys. Like, ooh. You ever watch like something and you're like forget you're watching something because the person is so good and that's like a person playing a character and not really how the person is in real life. It's kind of just basically John C. Reilly playing himself, but a little more exuberant.
Simply, like, kind of like Adam Sandler in Uncut Gems.
Like Adam Sandler in every movie except Uncut Gems.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been on the Sixers the same way that I've been on them for the last 5 years, or maybe since Jimmy Butler was here. Like, they can win it, but can they?
They can't win it. They're not going to win the championship. I'll tell you that right now. I would bet no.
I mean, it's the Bucks for me. Probably Bucks Suns. Warriors are the Warriors. Jordan Poole's playing out of his mind right now. Clay, Steph's out for the rest of the season, but he's going to be back for the playoffs. Draymond, they're kind of clicking right now without him. So I would say Bucks, Suns, Warriors. That Celtics team is scary, too. And then, you know, the Heat could fucking win. Who knows, man?
What was the Ben Simmons news today?
Not today.
Not today.
He filed the grievance.
Oh, he's done?
He filed the grievance over the weekend.
Okay.
He's not playing in the regular season, and he's not playing in the playing game, and he's not going to play. He's not. You don't put a player like Ben Simmons, you don't force him into your lineup, especially after Kyrie now has to play more than three games in 11 days. And if you see those splits on days of rest, like they're pretty alarming. You know, he was like averaging like 32 with 3 days of rest. Yeah, no fucking duh. Like it's the NBA, like any sport, like, oh man, I can do better when I have rest and stuff. So like, there's that. They have nobody on the bench and stuff. Like, it's just, they might not even make it out of the play-in tournament. I just want to say one thing, you know, a lot of things March 10th, they looked amazing, but we could have solved this grievance March 10th if Kyrie didn't stick his nose where it didn't belong.
In your face?
Yes.
Okay.
We could have had a conversation. I would have mediated the shit out of it. I would have been fair. I would have said, hey, Ben, are you healthy? Yes. Can you play? Yes. Boom. Sixers win.
You fix the Sixers just like I fixed baseball.
I'm just like, it's any mediator that takes this, and someone will, because the NBA Players Association will just stranglehold somebody into taking this case. But like, anyone that takes this case is a loss. This would do too much to the NBA.
Yeah. You really think the Players Association is going to back this?
Yeah. They've backed dumber shit.
That's fair.
It's the Players Association. It's their only legal counsel.
Ben Simmons is a pussy. Boom. That's your grievance, Ben.
Yeah, grievance these nuts.
All right. Let me ask you, do you want to make fun of me real fast? Do you want to get the Mets thing over with? Let's just get it over with.
Oh, I have one more thing I want to talk about.
Yeah, okay.
Joel Embiid showed up to my restaurant. I'm quitting immediately.
Why are you quitting?
Did you see some of that? Like, he loves his steak extra burnt, like burnt. Like Trey Wingo burnt.
Ew.
Ordering pictures of Shirley Temple is the worst thing in a bar, in a fancy steakhouse, because nobody has grenadine in a place where children do not inhabit these restaurants.
What is in this? Hold on a second. What is in a Shirley Temple?
I knew you were going to ask this. It's either Sprite and grenadine, or it's ginger ale and grenadine. Grenadine's like the cherry flavor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm aware. I'm a big. I make a rum punch that I use grenadine in. So. Oh,
I like that. Yeah. Like, I used to work in bars and stuff, and when a kid would ask, it was a sports bar in the city, so like not many parents bring their kids into sports bars in the cities, and then people would start asking. Like, for the first couple of years, we didn't have grenadine, and people would ask for Shirley Temples, and I'm like, what are we doing here? There's not fucking Applebee's. Like,
so hold on a second. You're telling me you were at a bar and you didn't have grenadine? I feel like grenadine didn't go into a lot of stuff.
No, not our beer. Not our drinks. Like,
I guess
like,
so. I guess if it's a sports bar, it's like, probably like beer, vodka soda.
Yeah, you
soda.
Want this vodka soda? Okay. Oh, you want a green tea shot? That doesn't have grenadine in it. So it's like, people like aren't eclectic. Like, we're not getting like steakhouse shit where it's like, that's, you know, I'll take a martini.
Liking a well-done steak is pre-crime.
Oh, I'm quitting if Joel Embiid ever walks into a restaurant I work at. Hopefully I never have to do that ever again.
What? Let me tell you, again, second time I'm going to tell people to unsubscribe. If you're not eating your meat, at least medium to medium rare, please unsubscribe.
Yeah, medium, medium rare.
Medium, actually, I'm not a huge steak guy in general, but I've become around to the medium rare because I feel like the medium is always a little too done.
I think Yoko ordered medium well the other day, like a month ago.
That's, you could break up with her.
Yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, you're going to have a conversation with her. Okay. What do you want to do? Do you want to make fun of me for being a Mets fan, or do you want to talk about the NCAA tournament?
I don't know, because I feel like you're not going to give me what I want if I talk to you about the Mets.
What do you want? What do you want me to be upset?
No, you're very optimistic, and it bothers me. You know, you always have like a, well, like that's how you always start it. Like, I'm like, oh, Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer on the DL, you guys are fucked. Well, this is good because we have the third guy and the fourth guy, and Francisco Lindor is going to have a great season, and Uncle Stevie's going to spend a bunch of money and everything.
Yeah, like, he's going to probably go trade for somebody.
Like, cry.
Yeah, I am not a sky is falling sports fan normally. I know you said this to me. I think I'm one of the more optimistic Eagles fans there are too.
Well, that's not hard, but yes.
Well, yeah, I'm a consummate optimist.
We're the only Howie guys in the city.
I don't know why people hate him so much. I mean, he can't draft. It's fair, but like, he's putting competitive teams together, going to Super Bowl. Usually find have the cap space to do something. Yeah,
we'll be fine.
God made that guy really upset last time. No, well, let me tell you something. I do have moments of regret in my car. Like when I was, after we got done talking on the phone today and we were talking about the Mets, I was driving back up from like Sea Isle area and I was like, this just fuck. Am I just going to sign up for another 80 win season? I'm like, this sucks.
See, I'm so excited about Friday and I feel like you're excited, but you're like a tepid excited. Like you're,
yeah,
like
because now I'm going to have to watch fucking T.Y. McGill or whatever his fucking name is go out and pitch in the first game. Now, there's also rumors of a rain Thursday.
Nice.
Which means we could get canceled, which means Scherzer could just start on Friday and the season starts on the right point. I'm also like not 100% optimistic about their offense. Look, I'm heavily invested in Francisco Lindor. He has a lot to do with my mental health. So yeah, I mean, it's a lot for me, but I'm just going to continue to be optimistic because at one point this team's going to do something and make me happy. They've never done anything to make me happy, but one time they will. I'm in an abusive relationship.
2015 was cool for a little bit.
It was cool, but it was the first pitch of the World Series. Guy hit an inside the park home run. Like, you just knew. Like, Harvey never should have given the ball up. No, Harvey should have given the ball up. He should have given the ball up. He was probably too coked out. That was mean. He was probably, you know, Terry Collins comes out there and he had coke eyes. He's like, get the fuck off my mound. He goes and gives up a run. Like, they managed that game away. But you knew it was going downhill from the, you know, ball right to Yo, can't play it, inside park home run. It's not a good stop. Fucking Mike Moustakas. Dancing on my grave.
Are you worried that everything is looking too good for the Phillies right now? There's like actually a prospect that's actually working out. Nola just K'd 8-4. Bryson Stott's hitting 500.
Nola, and Nola was the one that retired all those Mets in a row. Let me tell you something. Here's the thing. We keep talking about the Phillies and the Mets, and we just keep forgetting that the Braves exist. The Braves are still a good baseball team. The Nationals are actually not a bad baseball team either. They have a good lineup. Here's my saving grace with the Mets-Phillies situation, was where I think the Mets could struggle without the pitching. The Phillies are going to go through stretches where they're not hitting because that's a boomer bust lineup, right? So they're going to go through some stretches. My whole outlook right now is if Jake's not back till June 1st, just gotta stay within 5 games of him, and we'll be fine.
Okay.
So I'm not a believer in the Phillies rotation either. I think Wheeler regresses a little bit. I've seen Wheeler pitch a lot, and last year was the best Wheeler we've ever seen. I think he's gonna regress to the mean a little bit. I don't think Noel is anything super special. I think he's a glorified 3, and then you know Ranger Suarez, is Ranger, yeah. And you know, it's like, you know, but look. I'm pulling for you.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm pulling for you. I hope you're good.
Shut the fuck up.
I hope for you.
I mean, this lineup.
It would just be a real shame.
They can't stop hitting home runs. They can't stop hitting home runs.
Yeah, it'd just be a real shame if Schwarber got hurt again. That's all.
I mean,
that was mean.
It really would. It would be a shame. It would be a shame. But then, you know, it's next man up attitude.
Right. That next man up's probably going to be Scotty Jetpacks, but that's okay.
People are thinking he has his resurgence.
Yeah, gold glove coming.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something in the water down there.
I'm just saying, like, if Mickey Moniak or Bryson Stott don't work, Mickey Moniak's still, you know, the writing's on the wall. He's been journaling a lot, so he's getting his head right and stuff, and that's why he's been hitting multi-home runs and stuff. Good for him. He's got a little black book. I love that. You should write your thoughts out more, people. If Bryson Stott doesn't work out, I don't believe in the Phillies farm system anymore. They're just cursed.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to expand on this journaling situation. Me and you have had this conversation, and I'm going to share what your New Year's resolution was on the podcast right now. I don't know if you shared it or not. You had said to me, and this was early on in the restart of the podcast, you said you were going to not let things that people like bother you so much. I thought that was very profound. It was very grown up of you. I didn't have a New Year's resolution. I'm coming up with it months down the road. I'm going to start appreciating more things, right? So I had – early on in the podcast, Kyle and I talked a lot in the original edition, a lot, like hours a day. I think the thing I missed most in the time off was simply the friendship that we had built. It was something that, like, it truly felt like a breakup. Not only did I lose the show, I felt like I lost a friend for whatever it was, 8-9 months, right? So I want to say I went through one of the more embarrassing, awkward, and upsetting moments in my life on Friday. Having Kyle talk about it today and get it off my chest was fantastic. So I appreciate your friendship and coming back to the podcast.
But where the fuck did that come from?
I've been up in my feels the last couple days.
Your kid rolled the ball to you, and man, you were a waterfall.
Dude,
is this going to be me?
It's possible. Dude, I think parenting is an emotional wreck, but saying thank you for listening.
Well, I appreciate your appreciation.
Boom.
And I think that's where you end it, because that was just...
absolutely. Yeah.
If what is this coming out, Wednesday? I mean, if you can't just get some pep in your step after that, that like, we just broke down the fourth wall there, people. What more can you like?
Maybe just toss me a retweet for me feeling so down.
Hey, reach out to Gary and say, I appreciate your appreciation. Yeah. We appreciate you people.
You know what? And I appreciate you, listener, in your car, right? Your home, talking to your horse.
Could be on your TV.
Whatever you're doing. Could be on your TV. I don't know. Maybe one day. But we're going to wrap it up. Remember, next Tuesday, Phillies, Mets. We'll be in the parking lot. Live podcast. Bob Wank will be there. Kyle lost 101 bet on UNC. What were you going to spend the money on?
I had like a suit for my buddy's wedding. I have to get my passport out of the safe.
Yeah,
that the computer's laying on right now.
I think I solved that for you though, but you're just not committing to it.
I'm going to look into it after we get off. I have a trip in a couple weeks, and I lost the key to my fire safe. So I think if anyone, I mean, Gary said drill.
So, or a gun.
Or gun.
I thought you could just shoot it, but then you put your passport at risk.
Yeah, well, we'll figure it out.
Just a fire safe. It's going to be easy enough to break open.
And then, fun things. I actually probably would have put it in the bank, honestly.
Now a lot of that's probably just going on the old credit card, huh?
Yeah, you know, Caleb Love, I will never forgive you. I will never forgive you. I wouldn't be here without you, but I will never forgive you. You had half an ankle cartilage, and you just took the ball and ran on a fast break like five times yesterday. That was just a ridiculously ridiculous played basketball game.
I didn't watch any of the Final Four, and I don't think that would surprise you that I said that. And I actually feel bad because I missed that Duke UNC game, which is supposed to be an all-timer. However, thank you very much for listening to the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. We will see you all Tuesday night live from the Citizens Bank parking lot, live podcast with Bob Wankel. Until next week, I'm Kyle, that's Gary. Thank you for listening to the Water Boys podcast.
You just said, I'm Kyle, that's Gary.
I'm Gary, that's Kyle.
No, we're keeping it.
Yeah.